This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Tomorrow marks the beginning of Ebertfest. The annual film festival in Champaign-Urbana was founded 24 years ago by Chaz and Roger Ebert. Roger grew up in Urbana and went on to be the best-known film critic of his generation. I mean, what am I saying? He's probably the best-known film critic of all time, right? Roger died 10 years ago this month, but his writing lives on in books and on the internet, and his spirit is being carried forward by his wife, Chaz. A big part of Ebert's spirit was the idea of empathy, and that is the main theme of this year's Ebert Fest. To understand why, let's hear it from the man himself.
We all are born with a certain package. We are who we are. Where we were born, who we were born as, how we were raised. We're kind of stuck inside that person. And the purpose of civilization and growth is to be able to reach out and empathize a little bit with other people. Find out what makes them tick, what they feel about, what they care about. And for me, the movies are like a machine that generates empathy. If it's a great movie, it lets you understand a little bit more about what it's like to be a different gender, a different race, a different age, a different economic class, a different nationality, different profession, different hopes, aspirations, dreams, and fears. It helps us to identify with the people who are sharing this journey with us. And that, to me, is the most noble thing that good movies can do, and it's a reason to encourage them and to support them and to go to them.
The movies are like a machine that generates empathy. Joining me now to talk more about all of this is Chaz Ebert. She and Roger were married for 20 years and were also business partners, co-founding RogerEbert.com, working on television projects, and of course, creating Ebertfest. Chaz Ebert, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you for inviting me. I'm glad to be here.
I want to begin by asking you to say more about the importance of empathy in Roger's life and work. Of course, we heard that clip there, but it really suffused so much of his film criticism.
You know, and I think it really, at the essence, is who Roger was. I talk about one of the things that I really admired about Roger was his innate goodness. And I think part of that goodness derived from him being empathetic to other people. And also, he said Roger was an only child and he always wanted brothers and sisters that he didn't have. So maybe his curiosity about other people came partly from that, wanting to know what it was like to be someone else or to even have just other people who were close to you in the family to play with. So I think as he grew older, you know, he also said that his father, he said that his father was a very empathetic person as well. You know, Brian, I laugh because the thing that people really like to talk about is the movies that Roger, the books that Roger wrote called I Hated This Movie. Those were very popular.
Right.
And those are fun too. But what Roger really loved was talking about the movies that he championed, that he loved.
We certainly remember the one star, the zero star reviews, and those were fun to share. But as
yes.
you say, that's not the core of his work. I wonder how you think your presence in his life affected his outlook, affected his sense of empathy.
Well, I can say this, that we both are essentially optimistic people. And we both love people. You know, I came from a family where I had four brothers and four sisters. So there was always, you know, there were always lots of people around and people you could depend on. And I just have a sense in life that people are good. And so I think maybe those philosophies that we shared, you know, we helped bolster each other that way. I don't know if that makes any sense, but
No, it definitely does. It definitely does. Let's talk about this year's Ebertfest, because as I mentioned, empathy is the theme. How did you come to settle on that?
You know, it was so easy because of everything that I've ever talked to with Roger about movies. Empathy came up over and over again. And he would say how fortunate he was to be in a field where he could sit in the dark for 2 hours and see what it was like to be a person who, let's say, lived in Japan, or someone who lived in, you know, a country in Africa, someone who was to, he said, I can only know what I think it would be like to be a woman in the situation, let's say, of Norma Rae, but to watch a movie and to see it and to get that piece of empathy about what it is to be another person fighting for, you know, the rights of a labor union or something. Just, it was so easy for that to be the theme for this year in commemorating the 10th year of Roger's death. And to me, his theme and his philosophy about empathy in the movies is what will survive everything else. That's my humble opinion.
Hmm. And maybe you can just talk a little bit about some of the films that are coming then. So which one?
Yeah,
what
I'd
stands
love
out
to do
you?
That.
Yeah. And I should say we need to take a break in a couple of minutes and then we will continue after that.
But go ahead. Okay, we'll take a break and I'll come back.
Well, no, we're on a fixed clock. So maybe we'll just start with one of the big attractions Saturday night is this Derek Del Gaudio. It was a stage play and then it became a film, and you have Frank Oz, the director, coming in to talk about that. Tell us about that.
Oh, I think that's Friday night. Friday.
Oh, my mistake. My mistake.
On my schedule, I have Friday at 7:30 in and of itself. That's the name of the film. And it's really a departure from what most people know Frank Oz as. In fact, he is a co-creator of The Muppets with Jim Henson. He is, you know, the voice of Yoda and so forth. He has so many things that are kind of, you know, fantastical and magical. And this is Derek Del Gaudio did a show that I think ran in New York for maybe a year. And when Frank Oz saw it, he knew that he wanted to film it and so it could have a wider audience. And it was about determining who you are, who am I? And it's through this, I'm going to use the word eccentric magician named Derek Del Gaudio. It's fascinating how Derek takes the audience through a journey, kind of through his life. And it's something that you really wouldn't expect.
Yeah, it's one of those that's kind of almost hard to describe. You have to experience it. It was certainly a very hot ticket in New York City. And now I am going to say we should take that break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Chaz Ebert about Ebertfest. If you are interested particularly in and of itself and Derek Del Gaudio and Frank Oz, as well as a couple of producers on the film, that is going to be correctly this time, Friday evening, April 21st at 7:30 p.m. in Champaign. Ebertfest begins tomorrow. It runs through the weekend. We're going to talk more about it with Chaz Ebert when we return. This is the 21st Show. Stay with us.
The 21st is made possible in part by Busey. For 150 years, Busey has helped business owners and entrepreneurs navigate financial decisions, achieve long-term goals, and realize dreams of success. Busey, fulfilling dreams since 1868.
This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey, and we are talking about Ebertfest, which is this week through this weekend in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. We're talking about that with Chaz Ebert, who is a host of the festival and co-founded it with her late husband, Roger, back in 1999. This is a particularly special year in the life of the festival as it marks 10 years since Roger died back in 2013. Actually, this month, back in 2013. The festival begins, as I said, on Wednesday evening and continues through Saturday night. And one of the things that's notable when you look at the schedule, Chez, is that there are a lot of international films. Can you talk about programming that and the importance of going beyond the borders of America in terms of selecting the films that you want to highlight?
Okay, I will. I want to add just one thing about In and of Itself.
Yes.
That was directed by Frank Oz with Derek Delgadio. It was produced by Stephen Colbert and his wife, Evie. I think she pronounced it Evie.
Yeah.
And so, which is also sort of a departure. So there are a lot of things about that film that's a departure from the usual. One moment. Are you hearing any feedback of
nope.
voices?
Oh, good. Sounds good to me. Yep.
Okay, great. So, and yes, we do think, you know, Roger was one of the film critics early on back in the, I would say maybe the 60s or 70s, who was a big advocate of bringing films from other countries to American audiences. And so we continue that. Let me see, Wings of Desire, the German film. We have My Name is Sarah that was shot in Poland, but it's about based on a true story of a Holocaust survivor who had to pretend to be non-Jewish in order to survive. And the film was actually produced by her son, Mickey Shapiro from Detroit, who will be present along with the director, Stephen Orrit. They actually built a set in Poland that I think some things in the town that are still there. And I do want to ask them about that. We have The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Oh, and one of Roger's favorite directors, Ozu. We have Tokyo Story on Thursday at 9:30 a.m. And I think, you know, well, Roger and I went to Japan and had a chance to discuss the importance of sharing international films, just for understanding between people and giving you an idea of how other people live and eat and work and think.
That empathy machine again, yeah. Can you talk about the significance, maybe for people who aren't as familiar with Ebertfest, if they're not from the Champaign-Urbana area, we have listeners across the state of Illinois, why in Champaign-Urbana? Talk about Roger's connection to the town.
Okay, so I am going to, Roger would be very miffed with me if he were still here, if I didn't say the connection is Urbana-Champaign, because Urbana is his hometown, and he always used Urbana first before the word Champaign.
I thought it was just the university, so now there's one other entity yes. that puts Urbana first. Okay.
Yes, the University of Illinois. And so Roger was very, in fact, in Roger's memoir, he calls Urbana, he says, I was born in the center of the universe. I love that line, whether it's literally true or not, but he did think very much of his hometown. And when the University of Illinois asked him to come back, it was before Ebertfest started. I think they had a Cyberfest and they were gonna show 2001, A Space Odyssey.
I remember this.
Yeah, remember.
Yes, 1997, because that was the year that the HAL computer supposedly was born in Urbana, Illinois. Yes.
Exactly. You're right on top of everything, Brian. And after they had that Cyberfest, it was so successful that the university said, would you like to come back and maybe do a, you know, show some other films here? And that's how Ebertfest was born. So the next year we started a film festival And Roger did not want to go to the studios to ask for new films because he didn't want to be beholden to anyone or think that he had to, you know, he was very honest about his opinions about the movies. And so he didn't want to ask for a movie he hadn't seen or he hadn't reviewed. And so in the beginning, it was called the Overlook Film Festival. And we looked back at films that we thought deserved bigger audiences that didn't perhaps get the biggest audience the first time around. And in the past, we showed primarily older movies. But as the festival evolved, we also show current films, as long as they're film that are, you know, that Roger had reviewed or that now some of our other film critics have already reviewed.
Sure. I remember in the early days there was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there was a sort of always a 70 millimeter print, right? Which is this, the mid 20th century answer to high definition. I wonder if the technology changes in projection and just the film industry have made, you know, have required changes at the festival over time.
Brian, you heard me sigh, and I sighed because I love opening with a 70 millimeter film. It's just that we've been doing the festival for almost 25 years now. So it's getting harder and harder to find 70 millimeter films. And no changes, even the change over to this digital projection. We still have the capability at the Virginia Theater. We made sure when they did their renovation, we still have a 70 millimeter projection. We can project in 35 millimeter. We still have an old Todd AO projection system up there that we used when Donald O'Connor came to show Singing in the Rain. So we can do it all at the Virginia Theater. We're probably one of the few theaters in the country that can still do it that way. And we have a projectionist named James Bond. That's his real name. He's one of the best projectionists in the country. So
I hope he introduces himself in a non-standard way. Jimmy, call me Jimmy. For people who've never been, and I guess, you know, we're in this era of streaming and on-demand movies and high-end home cinemas, and certainly the pandemic prompted a major change in the way the movie industry strategically does this. What is the advantage of getting together with people in a room in the dark and staring at a screen for a couple of hours?
You know, I can try to describe it, but I have to tell you, I'll tell you what people say to us when they come after. They say, you know, I've been watching things at home. I decided to give this Ebertfest Film Festival a try. And they said, I can't believe I haven't been doing this every year. To sit in a theater with other film lovers, first of all, you know, just think of it as if you were out, let's say if you were at a picnic and you were at a picnic by yourself and you're eating a sandwich. Yes, you're still outdoors. You're still eating a sandwich. But just imagine if you're at a picnic and you're sitting on a blanket with friends and you're laughing and you're eating not only a sandwich, but someone else brought potato salad and you have everything and you have all this joy going on. That's what being at a film festival is like. All this joy with people who are sharing it with you. And after it's over, while you're standing in line, you're talking to people about the movies. You're asking people about maybe some obscure point of the movie that you didn't understand. It's just a whole different experience. Not only that, the Virginia Theater has one of the biggest screens and it's so beautiful. You can see our projection, when you look at it, you see things, little things in the corners of the film, all over, colors, everything that you don't see if you saw it, if you tried to look at something on your computer, or some people even try to watch a film on their phone. But when you see it on a big projected, you know, projected properly with great sound on a big screen, you get a whole different immersive feeling about watching that movie. So, you know, I can go on and on and on about this. I won't, but it's just such a beautiful thing. I love it.
Yeah. I don't understand the whole phone thing, but that's maybe that's generational. I want to ask, and it's I mentioned this earlier. It's been 10 years since Roger took what he so poetically described as his leave of presence. In what would be his final column. And you wrote recently about your own grief and how you ultimately came to this place of openness.
Yes.
If it's not too much to ask, can you talk about that journey, what you describe as a return to the presence of love?
You know, it is difficult for me to talk about. And that article that I wrote to honor him on the 10th anniversary of his death was, I felt it was so personal, I almost didn't want to publish it, but all of my editors encouraged me to, and it got, you know, like over 3,000, responses. And I did kind of want to shut myself off from people because I was in pain and grief, and I felt that the thing to do was to grieve alone, and everyone needs to take a step back, and when they're going through grief in the beginning, to kind of get themselves together and just sit with themselves. But I did learn when I went out, when I was at that very vulnerable stage, and I interacted with other people, and the thing that I talked about was interacting with people. And I had given a talk at a cancer center at Northwestern Hospital in Chicago. And people, I think there were like maybe 100, maybe even 200 people in line who wanted to just talk and to me. And I, you know, and I may have the timing of that wrong. The talk could have been when he was still here, but still in very grief because I knew he was going to be leaving this earth soon. But I realized that talking to people and allowing people in when you're feeling your most vulnerable can also be healing for you and for the other person that you're connecting with. Instead of, it's natural to want to put up a shield and close yourself off from everyone. But being open and vulnerable, I think, is something that's human and that's healing.
Another way to seek empathy in our daily lives.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Chaz Ebert, I want to thank you so much for sharing your story and Roger's story and continuing the festival. If people want to learn more about it, they can go to ebertfest.com. We'll also make sure we have a link to that on our website at 21stshow.org. Ebert Fest begins tomorrow, Wednesday, April 19th, and it runs through Saturday, April 22nd, in Champaign, Illinois, even though Urbana was first in Roger's heart. Chaz Ebert, thank you so much for being with us to talk about this today.
Thank you so much, Brian. Okay, I hope to see you at the movies.
And that's all the time we have for our program today. Tomorrow, we will be taking a deep dive into a report out of Peoria City and County that looks at systemic racism and really generations of entrenched racism there. And what are the consequences of that? What it's going to take to extract ourselves from that situation. That is coming up tomorrow on the 21st Show, which is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Our interns are Owen Henderson and Anaya Jones. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I want to suggest you visit our website, 21stshow.org. There you can find our current and past segments. Share them with a friend. You can also find links to our podcast or just search us out on your favorite podcast platform or on Apple, Spotify. Just search for The 21st Show. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. Remember, the movies are like a machine that generates empathy. So get out of your comfort zone. Seek out some new experiences. Maybe you'll gain some new understanding. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again tomorrow.